Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of James. The book of James. Today's message is called Two Examples. Two Examples. We'll continue our study in this wonderful epistle, chapter 2. Last week we looked at verse 19, where we saw that the devils believe in God and tremble, but it's not a saving belief, but they know who He is. We looked at several examples of that. And they know there's only one true God. And they know there's not multiple gods. They know there's only one true God. And they actually identified the Lord Jesus Christ by their own words, which we looked at last week. They identified Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. They identified Him as the Son of God. They identified Him as the Holy One of Israel. And again, they know there's one God, and they tremble. They tremble. Now, in this section, James has been instructing us, again, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, who is the true author of the Scriptures. He's been instructing us the difference between true God-given faith and false professions, or false professors. And he will give us an example today, two examples of how faith works. And remember, these works in no way justify Abraham or Rahab before God. They justify Abraham and Rahab before man. They're proof and evidence that God has wrought a work in them. They would not have done these things. They would not have believed on God unless He granted them faith to believe. And it's the same for us, right? We've been given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to trust Him with our eternal souls. And He is the sure one. He is the only salvation for sinners. And these works, again, that James is speaking of, they prove our faith, that it is truly God-given. Let's read verses 20 to 26, and we'll see James brings forth two examples of these works that he's speaking of, which prove our faith. Again, in no way do they justify Abraham or Rahab before God. We are only justified before God in Christ. You're going to hear me say that a lot in this message because it's so important to keep reiterating that fact, that our justification before God is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now verse 20 there says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The man or woman who boasts of faith without works is foolish. He or she is condemned forever, as they are void of all those works which are proof or just evidence of spiritual life. In verse 20, James asks a question here of a man who says he has faith without works. Brother Tim James brings this forth. I thought this was really well done. The question would read in today's vernacular, you who say that a person can have faith without works, do you want proof that faith without works is dead? So the context of the question, again, context is so important, isn't it? We've learned that in our studies in Peter and 1 John and as we went through various studies in the scriptures, we learned that context is so important. People will take verses and they will tear them out and they will make a whole false doctrine with verses. Now, works mongers love this section of the scripture because they say, see, faith without works is dead. But they don't understand the passage of the scriptures. They don't understand that James is bringing forth justification before man and Paul is bringing forth justification before God. And we've learned that, haven't we, in our study through the book of James. Same gospel, right? Salvation's only in and through Christ and Him alone. But James is bringing forth that there are certain works that prove our faith. So the context of the question is not respecting the cause of our justification before God, because that is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. James, again, is bringing forth that a profession of faith without the works of the Holy Spirit wrought in us is just a false profession. Those who strive to prove this passage that man is justified by works, they're simply yoking man with the works of false religion. That's all they're doing. James meant no such thing. James is not bringing forth this passage about works to show that man's justified before God by works, because that's impossible. Because none of us can justify ourselves by what we do, right? Not one of us. And we know that from the scriptures. There must be a lamb slain. There must be a perfect one who dies to satisfy the law in our place. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. So the proofs which he's speaking of, the works which James is speaking of, will come about as a result of the Holy Spirit working in us. If they are not present, therefore, where there is a declaration of faith, no work of the Holy Spirit, there's no real faith. So a person can say, well, yeah, I know the Lord. I believe all these doctrines. And not know Christ at all. Because there's not been a rebirth. They've simply made an empty, dead profession. And no one will ever understand what is said in this passage, nor judge wisely these words, except those who keep in view the design of what the writer is bringing forth in this text. That he's speaking of these works which will accompany salvation, which justify us before man, but not before God, as we've looked at in previous studies. And today, we'll see that a justifying faith, which is only in Christ Jesus and Him alone, this faith only holds tight to Christ, clings to Christ. And it's without works that we have done. It's all what Christ has done. Let's read verses 21 to 24, and we'll see here the first of two examples brought forth in our text. And what's being brought forth here is Abraham's faith. Not Abraham. Now, remember this too. This is not about Abraham. This is about his faith. About his faith. Was not Abraham our father justified by works which he had offered Isaac when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now again, works-based religion grabs hold of verse 21 and they say, see, you're saved by what you do. But again, they're ripping that verse out of context, beloved. They tear that verse out of context. James is not speaking about works that justify us before God. Again, he's speaking about works that justify us before man. Huge difference. Night and day. Look at verse 21 again. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Again, context, context, context. So important. We should always seek out a right interpretation of a verse within the context of where it's placed. One commentator brings forth that the general drift of this whole passage is James is showing that there will be certain works which will accompany salvation. And again, it's the works of the Holy Spirit of God. We can't work these things even in ourselves. The love of the brethren. Do you know one thing Satan can't counterfeit? Is the love God's people have for each other. He can counterfeit a lot of things, but he cannot counterfeit that love we have for one another. He can't do it. He can't. And false professors, if you notice, they don't have a love for the brethren. And neither does the world. Neither does the world. So James here does not speak of the cause of our justification or the manner of how man obtained righteousness, because that's only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's very clear. James' object here was only to show that good works are always connected with faith. And therefore, since he declares that Abraham was justified by works, he's actually speaking just of the proof of his justification. That's all he's speaking of. Again, I'll read that verse in Ephesians 2. It's so important, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what James is bringing forth. Those works do not that God has ordained for us do not justify us. But God has ordained good works for us. We don't even know when we do them. Isn't that wonderful? Let's go back and read verses 21 and 24. We see in verses 21 to 24 that by what Abraham did, it appeared that he truly believed God. That's what James is bringing forth here, that his faith was real. It was genuine. You see, when we truly love God, we're believe him, won't we? We're take him at his word. I ask you this, before the Lord regenerated you, did you believe the word of God? Not the way we do now, right? Did you believe the Lord Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven? The only means that a sinner can be saved? Did you believe that? Or did you think, well, I'm not a bad person? That's how I thought. Surely God won't throw me into hell because I ain't an axe murderer or something like that. Well, then you find out you're worse than the axe murderer. And by God's grace, he saved us, didn't he? Oh, my. My. This faith that Abraham had was a working faith. Not to be justified before God, but to be justified before man. Look at verses 22 to 24. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Now in verse 23, turn if you would to Genesis chapter 15. Very important for us to look at this. Because verse 23 there, when it says, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Here's a way to absolutely destroy works mongers who say that this passage of scripture proves that you're saved by your works. And we'll see why. That's a direct quote from Genesis chapter 15. That verse 23 there is a quote from Genesis 15 verse 6. Look what it says here. And he believed in the Lord, speaking of Abraham, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You know why this verse is so important? Because the imputation that's mentioned there in Genesis 15:6 was more than 30 years before he offered Isaac upon the altar. 15 years before the birth of Isaac, God tells Abraham, or the scriptures tell us that Abraham believed in the Lord, that's Jehovah, and he counted it to him for righteousness. He was saved by grace there. Well, this is what gets people into a pickle when they try to use James chapter 2, verses 21 to 24 to prove works-based salvation. They have, like Brother Tim James says, an impossible knot to untie. They really do. They really do. Why? Well, because of that scripture we just looked at. Abraham was justified by God before he even offered Isaac up. And what does our scripture here tell us? Well, look what it says. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Abraham was already justified before God, wasn't he? We saw that in Genesis 15, verse 6. And that justification there is that's in Christ. So this verse couldn't possibly then be speaking of something that Abraham did to justify himself before God, could it? It's impossible. Do you see the knot they put themselves into? My. No. This works here works before man. Abraham had a faith that was productive of good works, and he proved it with Isaac. He was willing. He was willing to be obedient to the Lord to the point of giving up his own son. So this is the first example we see that James gives us. And remember that the subject is not Abraham, but rather Abraham's faith. As an example of faith being dead without works. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. Here's another good section to look at when folks try to use these verses to prove the false, damning error of works-based salvation. It's impossible for a man or woman who's a son or daughter of Adam, which is all of us, to be justified by anything we do. So this passage is not speaking about Abraham's justification before God, not the justification of his soul, because here in Romans chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, this passage brings forth clearly that we're only justified in the Lord Jesus Christ and not by our works, but by his works. What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Not one of us can glory before God in anything we do. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. There's the same thing we looked at in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, brought out right there before us. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned a grace, but a debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Well, hallelujah. Right? Not by anything we do. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's another hallelujah verse, isn't it? It gets better. Look at verse 6 and 7. Even as David also described the blessedness of a man with whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That's all who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? You see how clear it's brought forth here that our justification before God is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, not by anything we do at all. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now that's a verse just to sit upon and think about. We are most blessed, overwhelmingly blessed that God does not impute our sin to us. It fell upon Christ, beloved. Hallelujah, what a Savior. What a Savior is Jesus Christ our Lord. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. The Lord saved Abraham before he was even circumcised, which was a proof and a seal of the covenant, right? And he received the sign of circumcision, the seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Isn't that wonderful? It's not by anything we do. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only. And this is just showing you the difference between the Jew and the Gentile, that's all. But who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham when he had been yet uncircumcised. He was saved by grace alone, beloved. Just like us. Isn't that wonderful? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, 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 oh great mercy, he has saved us. Great mercy. We have much to rejoice in, don't we, beloved? Abraham's faith was justified before man by him taking up his son. By his works that way. His faith was proven genuine. That's what James is bringing forth here. That his faith was proven genuine. Showing that faith without works is dead. Now look at again verse 23 of James chapter 2. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Abraham was himself justified before God by faith in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed God. How are we justified? We believe God. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we preachers say, look and live. Look and live. Look to Christ and live. Abraham was himself justified before God by faith. Faith in who, one might ask? Well, turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. It's very clear here. Very clear here. Romans chapter 5. Verses 1 and 2. Look at this. And remember, this faith is God-given, right? He gives us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us faith to believe what the Scriptures say. We may talk to someone and they don't believe what the Scriptures say because they haven't been given faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's wonderful. It's wonderful that He shows us. And remember, when you're talking to someone who's in that state, we were there too. Just remember that. Don't get angry with them. Just show them Christ and leave them alone. Let the Holy Spirit do the work. Let them do the work. Look at this, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's our justification before God, right there. Peace. We are at war with the Lord because we had enmity against Him. And yet He still loves us. Oh my. We need to be reconciled to God. He doesn't need us to be reconciled to Him. We need to be reconciled to God. That's why we preachers say, be ye reconciled to God in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at this. By whom also we have access by faith. Well, who do we have access to? Into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have access now to the Father. In and through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, He's the conduit. There is no salvation in any other. Not in myself or yourself. Not in anything anybody else does or says. Salvation is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believest thou this? Oh, may God give you faith to believe. Just to trust. Look at this. It says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that God-given faith in Romans 1 has one object. And that's Christ. That's Christ and Him alone. So we see in our text this prime example of true faith. That true faith without works is dead. Abraham believed God. That was wrought in him by the Holy Spirit of God. There was a time when we did not believe God. We did not take Him at His word. And now, we love the Word of God. And we believe the Word of God, don't we? Even the parts we don't understand, which is a whole lot, right? And when something comes that kind of goes, you know, hits us a certain way, kind of, we go, oh, we bow to it still, don't we? Because it's the Word of God. And you know how the Scripture says all things work out for good? I'll tell you something. We cannot see that inside the situation. When we're going through it, we cannot see it. But whenever we look back, we go, look what the Lord's done. Look at what He's done. And our prayer is, God, just give me grace, strength, and mercy to make it through that situation. And then we look back and go, oh my goodness. What a merciful God. What a wonderful Savior. So Abraham's works did not make him righteous, but Christ made him righteous. And his faith is in Christ, which we saw in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And if he had not willingly offered up Isaac, his faith would have been dead then, right? He was already justified before God, but his faith would have proven to be dead if he hadn't been obedient to what the Lord said, right? But because he was truly born again, he willingly did that. He willingly did that. My, oh my. Paul brings forth, as we saw there in Romans, that we're only justified before God in Christ. And James brings forth that God-given faith will be proved or manifested by good works, which again we looked at in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Now we see Rahab here. Rahab, her faith was justified, shown to be true faith, when she took in the messengers which Joshua had sent to spy out the city. Joshua sent some spies to Jericho, spy out the city, see what their defenses were. And it says here in James chapter 2, verse 25, likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. So what a contrast we have here before us. We have a man who lived by faith, and his faith is spoken of highly in the Scriptures, and then we have a harlot, a sinner. Rahab was known for her sin, wasn't she? That's what she was known for. But that which proved her faith was that which was to be a hazard to her life. Turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 2. Now, I love the fact that God saved Rahab. He saved a sinner like me. He saved a sinner like you if you're one of His people. We're no better than Rahab or Abraham. And He had mercy upon us. Mercy upon us, beloved. Look at this in Joshua chapter 2. Now, Rahab was already justified because she believed God. And that was proved out by what she did for these two spies. Look at Joshua chapter 2. We're starting verse 15. Then she let them down by a cord through the window. Now they were looking all over town. The soldiers were looking all over town for these spies, and she hid them up in her attic. And then they came into her house, and she took them up top to the roof and let them down by a thin scarlet cord. Oh, what a picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, eh? Oh, it's wonderful. Look at this. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get ye to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourself there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterwards may ye go your way. She didn't just send them on the way. She gave them instruction, didn't she? And the man said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind the line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. Oh, that scarlet thread. It pictures the blood of Christ. Deliverance through the blood of Christ. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house in the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And you know what? All that were with her in that house were saved. Were saved. Oh, the scarlet thread. Oh, my. So, beloved of God, like Rahab, we're great sinners, aren't we, to our shame? But we have a great Savior, don't we? We have a great Savior who's forgiven us of all our sins. Oh, and when one has all their sins forgiven, there'd be great acts of self-denial. We're not living for ourselves anymore, are we? We're living for Christ now. We're living for Him. We desire His gospel to go forth. And Rahab's former course was left behind. And she gave proof and evidence of that. The greatest proof is to go forth and tell others of Christ, even at the hazard of her life or our life. You know, if a wasp finds a deposit of honey, I didn't know this, but if a wasp finds a deposit of honey, he will hasten back to tell the good news to the rest, and then they all go and partake. We're like that little wasp, aren't we? We found honey. Oh, we found honey for our souls, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And now we go back and tell others. Now we go back and tell others, come partake of this. It's free. And it's full salvation. Oh, it's incredible. We found honey in the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd be like the Samaritan woman then. What happened to that Samaritan woman? Remember the Lord said, I must go through Samaria. Why? Because there's one of her sheep there. We find out later, there's a whole bunch of them in that city. But he goes right to that Samaritan woman, doesn't he? And he tells her, I'm the Messiah. And she believes him by the grace of God. And then what'd she go? She go and tell the whole city. And they came out, and the Lord had more sheep in there too that we find out later on in that narrative. It's wonderful. Oh, my. And she was ordained to meet the Lord, wasn't she? He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He was ordained to meet her. And every one of God's people have a time that was ordained that God granted us faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can therefore conclude that Rahab had true faith because she acted upon that faith by letting those spies get away. Abraham and Rahab's are evidence of God-given faith in contrast to a mere profession. Listen to what it says in the Hall of Faith about Rahab. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. She believed She believed on Elohim. She believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And she was saved. Praise be to God. Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior